welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
Yeah, let's pray. So, Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you for what you're doing in each of us. And you're doing something amazing that it's doing something amazing that we're just stepping into, and we just ask, Father, on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, in each of our lives. Father, I pray this morning any caps that are on our lives in any area would be removed, and that your increase would come in our life, Father. Your increase would come in a powerful way, Father. We would never settle for anything less than what you said we have access to. Okay, so Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for this day, and I just pray for open hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, during worship, I mean, Peter, you said it too. I think just the theme of the day is like, what are the limits we have? And how can we remove those to get to a higher level? And that's what I feel this morning. That's literally what I'm going to talk about this morning. So it's kind of funny. It's obviously God who does that, right? But yeah, I want to talk about desiring heaven on earth. Gosh, I feel like Isaiah 61 has just been the scripture over and over and over. So what even is heaven on earth? And I want to read Isaiah 61 so we can kind of get that picture in our mind as we go forward. So Isaiah 61, and I'm just going to read verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Isaiah 61, 1, yeah. And if you have notes or a journal, I would encourage you to, write some stuff down. I have a few like prayers that you can pray on your own, things like that. So I would encourage you to write if you have a notebook. So basically, I just want to start with a question. What area of your life does the Lord want to bring increase to? I don't think increase will ever end as long as we're living on the planet in each of our lives, in any area of our lives. I think the reason why I feel like I need to ask this question is because we experience God's blessing, God's favor, God's miracles in our life, right? 1, 2, 5 times, 10 times, whatever. And we're thankful, we're grateful. But I don't know what it is, but I think we've seen God's goodness, and then for some reason we think, I don't know if there's anything that can top this. But God is the God of unthinkable. He says, "Ask more than you can ask or imagine." That's what's in Scripture, and I think that's kind of highlighting to me today is that there's areas where He wants to bring increase where we think that, I mean, this is good, but God said, "I don't want you to be content. I want you to be overflowing with whatever it is in your life." So I feel like that's kind of where we're going for, where we're going at today. And maybe there's also caps too. So sometimes I think even subconsciously there's caps that get placed on certain areas of our life. Maybe it's because of wounding. Maybe it's because hope deferred is huge. I mean, I've experienced hope deferred before. And I think it's one of those things where it's bad and it's painful. So I'm going to just go ahead and shut myself and close myself off. But the Father says, no, I want you to hope, continue hoping, dare to dream because I'm the one who comes through in hopes and dreams. And if it doesn't work out, I'm the one you can fall on. And I'm not saying it's not going to be painful, but we never shut ourselves off from hoping again, from hoping for our families, for our finances, for our marriages, for our schools, for our country. So I think that's just huge. I want to read Isaiah, talking about increase. I want to read Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. But I really want to emphasize on increase, and you'll see it in the middle of this verse. So Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So it doesn't say of the decrease of his government, or this is just that his government is going to be stagnant. It says of the increase, which means it's always growing, it's always moving, it's always expanding. So I want to start a little bit with, so just practically, like, how does that look like in our life to get to a place of hoping and dreaming and daring to believe for more and removing those limits? I think sometimes that it's hard for us to dream or to go even higher because there's been certain things that have been placed and capped on our lives. And so that just requires just in prayer, just inviting Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, where in my life do you want to bring increase? But not only that, saying, is there an area in my life where I've capped it off, even subconsciously? For some reason, I've just been agreeing with this thought pattern, and it's cut off my faith in this area. And another way this happens is, I think we're in a culture where it's, I think when even Christianity, even belief in God, it says, if it's the Lord's will, or, you know, God will take care of it. But my question is it God's will? Do I actually have permission to pursue this? Do I want to actively know what is the word of the Lord in my life today? And so that's, I think that the passivity even in prayer can get us to a place where we just unknowingly, we put caps. That's right. God will take, you know, God will, I guess if he wants to bless my family, or I guess I'll just be, you know, poor my whole life, or if he wants to make me wealthy, I don't know what it is, right? Whatever. I mean, this thing I'm telling you, so funny. Maybe my ear goes through this thing. There we go. That's better. I think it's just passivity. It literally keeps us locked and agreed into a spot where we no longer can grow because we're not actively pursuing hope and risk and faith in that area of our life. So if you have your journal, I want you to write down this prayer, and maybe we can do it afterward too, or just keep it in your heart, but it's, Holy Spirit, what limits do you want to remove in my life? There's another one, or there's a few more. And Holy Spirit, how did these limits get here? Or how did this limit get here? And keep yourself open. What he might say, this might come from something you had no idea about. But that's the best, that's the moment where you agree, and then we remove that limit. And then finally, it's saying, Father, I'm sorry that I put that limit on myself, even unknowingly. Would you please remove that limit from my heart? Remove that limit from my mind so I can dream, so I can hope, so I can believe for the increase in my life?
Could you repeat those, brother?
Yes, absolutely. Holy Spirit, what limits do you want to remove in my life? And then the second one is, Holy Spirit, how did these limits get here? And then finally, it's a prayer of, Holy Spirit, will you please just remove these limits from my life? So once, that's kind of the first step, if you want to call it that. Moving forward from there, it's really coming to a place where, what do you see? That's kind of my question, is like, what do you see when you see the world, when you see this certain situation, when you see your family, a family relationship that's not doing great, when you see, you know, schools who, you know, there's schools that need justice and righteousness to be in there, to be flowing in there again. You won't be able to see that if your lens is kind of covered, or if it's dirty, if it's gray. So it really is having eyes to see what isn't yet established on earth, but what God wants to establish on earth. I think that's the hope-filled message that we carry, is, Father, give us eyes to see what you see, even though it's not present in the natural. Can I see it in the future? Can I see it coming in the natural? Because you already see it in heaven. So it's having those eyes. I want to ask you, is it doom or gloom? Like, do you see, I'm not saying we won't escape pain and we won't see like hardship and just terrible things happen, right? But is that all we see? Is it all we see, or is there hope in there that says, I see this, but my reality is what I see in heaven, is what I see in my mind, in my spirit. That's my reality. And I want to bring that to my natural circumstance. Ephesians 1:18 says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then I have a prayer if you want to write this down. It's, Father, enlighten the eyes of my heart to see myself, my family, and my world the way you see it. With this, it's also a thing of being careful what we feed on. We should desire to feed on hope, on joy, and life. Like I said, we can't escape the things of the world, pain, you know, trial, the things we see, and it hurts. But asking the Lord to give us a lens so we can see the gold in other people, so we can see the gold in places, so we can see the gold in just things around us, right? Being optimistic, saying, what if this was to be this way? Or what if that could change, maybe? Yeah, that prayer was, Father, enlighten my eyes, or lighten the eyes of my heart to see myself, my family, and my world the way you see it. The third thing is, we live in a spiritual world, and many times it can be easy to really look inward, like, God, what is wrong with me? When God is actually not highlighting something at the moment, but there could be an outside force, right? Because if you're so hope-filled, it's kind of like expected. I mean, the enemy doesn't want you to be hope-filled and to look for the future, right? He wants you to be like, oh, the world's ending now, all this stuff. So this is another thing, is that there's powers and principalities that are in the air. And I think one of the biggest ones is a foreboding spirit, which basically means that, it basically means like something bad's gonna happen. That's what that means. It means that, I don't know if I should do this because it might not work out. Or I think something bad's gonna happen. So it locks you in this box of fear. And if we don't come out of agreement or stay in a place of hope and joy and life, and don't realize when that thought comes to our mind and rebuke it, it'll be easy to fall into that again. So I would just say, getting rid of the foreboding spirit, if that comes to your mind over and over and over again, it's telling it to stop. You have the authority to tell it to go back to hell, because it's not our inheritance. It's not how we live. You tell it to go back to hell and you say, Father, you've given me a spirit of joy, of power, of love. You've given me a sound mind. And I'm not going to agree with this spirit, with this foreboding spirit that doesn't allow me to look for my future. And with that too comes prayer. Prayer, praying for your family, praying for your friends. Because if it's hitting you, it might be hitting those around you too, right? Especially if you believe that you walk in a powerful spirit. Like, it might be wanting to attack your friends or anything like that. So you just go to war. Father, I just bless my friend. I bless my sister, my mother. I just pray for life. Any foreboding spirit, anything around them, I get rid of it in Jesus' name. I just pray for life and for hope. I just want to end with, that was a quick message, but I want to end with some testimonies that, I mean, I want to build your faith. So I'll start with, I had a friend, her name was Marissa. I mean, she still's alive and she still's my friend, so it's not a friend. Marissa, I had done the World Race, if any of you guys know the World Race, missions trip a few years ago. And Marissa, gosh, she is a fireball. But when I was discipling the men, and when we had a worship night, and, you know, you could say that, oh, she's on a mission trip, she's going to go experience God, like, she's going to do amazing things. And she did. So you could kind of write it off there. But one thing that happened when there was a worship night we had is that I just felt like I was overcome, and I just felt like there was this limit, this cap on her belief system, in her mind. Something wasn't allowing her to press into God. It was literally stopping her from pressing into God. And I just got overcome by it. And I said, Marissa, is there something, are you struggling with believing God? Like, I just feel like there's something on you. She said, yeah, and she like broke down in tears, and we just got to lay hands on her. But I feel like what happened was that was a level of increase for her, because maybe she was good at going to church and praying and, you know, like reading her Bible and singing. But to get to a deeper level in God, there needed to be a removal of something in her life so she could step into something great in her life, step into more of the Spirit in her life. So I think that's the places that we're never in. We're always growing. We're never content, or we're never just complacent, or we never arrived, right? Another one is the relationship with my mom. Gosh, my mom and I have had just a crazy life, our relationship. But the Lord restored our relationship, right? I grew up with my grandmother. My parents, you know, one of them went to jail before I was born, and then my mom just had a crazy life. But the Lord redeemed and restored that relationship, and it's still restoring, right? And I thought just because she had, you know, gotten saved and started believing God, that was kind of it. I was like, oh, you know, good for her. But God actually wanted to get deeper in my heart and in her heart, and he wanted to mend us to each other again as father and as mother and son. And that's hard, right? It's hard because it's vulnerability. It's painful because there's wounding there. There's years of just wounding, and it's, I don't want to let you in that space again, because you basically missed your opportunity, you know? But Holy Spirit, he wants things more than we do sometimes, I feel like, you know? He wants to redeem the time in our lives. He wants to redeem our experiences. He is the Redeemer. That's his name. So, which means he makes it better than what it even was, maybe. So he redeems it, and with interest, whatever the enemy stole, right? Another thing is just connected to that is my childhood. I didn't grow up with my dad in my life. He was in prison before I was born. So a true sense of abandonment and fatherlessness, like from the womb. Again, my mother, she's my best friend now, but in the early years, it was rough. And so even on my journey with the Lord and just being a disciple of Jesus and just letting other people disciple me, it was a sense of, I feel like I'm on my own, you know? Like, I'm being discipled, and it's beautiful, I'm doing these programs, but I don't have a family, a spiritual family, or just people who can cover me and invite me into their house and just to do life with. And the Lord has redeemed that, and is still redeeming that. I mean, just with this house, the fact that I'm here, like, oh my gosh, the fact that I'm here is crazy. It's just crazy, and it's only God who does this stuff. And I've just had to say yes, keep saying yes to God. It's basically saying, that seems almost too good to be true, but I'm going to go ahead and believe it anyway, because that's what he promises. And I just believe that he puts the lonely in families. And so I think that's kind of the thing that I want to get to you guys, is that there's things that God's already done and that he's still doing. He still even wants to grow deeper. He wants to perfect. He wants to make excellent, not just good, but excellent. So that way when others see our lives, whatever area it is, they go, oh my gosh, like, this is a freaking man of God in the house. This is a woman of God in my workspace. There's something when I come around them, my heart melts. I feel like I've never been known until I came around them. I feel like I never knew who I was until they called out the gold in me. That's the kind of thing that I want to get to you guys. So yeah, and I just kind of want to end with just an activation, a prayer for each of us. If you want to just pray, I just start with, Father, what are the limits in my life, if you've written those down? What are the limits that you want to remove in my life? Let's just start there. So if you want to just, you know, just close your eyes or whatever you want to do, let's just start in prayer and just, Holy Spirit, we just invite you just to reveal. But also to comfort. As you reveal, you're a gentleman, and so you reveal because you want to get us to a greater level of freedom.